blame the weather for a dip in housing construction. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The Commerce Department reports today that construction of new homes and apartments fell unexpectedly last month, partly due to heavy snow in much of the Northeast. David Lebovitz joins me. He's global market strategist with J.P. Morgan Asset Management. David, the housing market generally has been pretty strong. What do you make of this decline in housing starts?
The housing data did soften a little bit in January, but historically, January has been a pretty low housing construction month. And our general view is that it's not necessarily the beginning of some sort of deteriorating trend in housing. This is, you know, not the beginning of something bigger from where we sit.
Well, of course, the financial markets have continued to be volatile, but a lot of the data we're getting on the real economy is pretty positive. What's the disconnect?
I think markets are very concerned with the pace at which the Fed is going to hike rates this year, what's going on in the energy space, what's the outlook for China. Meanwhile, if we look at the U.S. economy, we've got a labor market which continues to tighten. We're seeing a little bit of wage growth. Sentiment looks pretty good. Consumption is still strengthening. So overall, I think that, you know, you have a steadily growing U.S. economy with a very volatile market on top. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect there. In the shorter term, markets can really do anything, but in the medium to longer term, markets need to come back to the fundamentals. And when we look at the fundamentals, generally speaking, we think they look okay.
About the Fed and interest rates, we are expecting minutes from the Fed's last meeting. How does this tale of two economies sort of play into what the Fed is thinking?
So the Fed has clearly identified the fact that the volatility in financial markets has caused them to rethink their plan for 2016. If the Fed can send a relatively dovish message, if the minutes suggest Fed's not completely bent on hiking four times this year, that'll help placate markets and should help stocks continue to push higher.
David Lebovitz from J.P. Morgan Asset Management. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Iran says it has no plans to join a deal to freeze oil production, despite pressure from fellow OPEC members in Tehran today. The meeting follows an agreement by Russia and Saudi Arabia yesterday to cap oil output if other producers agree to do so as well. A trade group representing health insurance companies is holding a briefing on Capitol Hill today to discuss Medicare Advantage. That's the private health plan for seniors that supplements traditional Medicare. Enrollment in the program has jumped from 11 million to 17 million since 2010. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Insurers may be threatening to leave the healthcare marketplace for lack of profits, but they're drawn to one area of coverage, Medicare Advantage. Dana Goldman teaches health policy and economics at the University of Southern California. He says insurers can rely on older patients to need certain things.
There's a lot of predictability in this market. That is to say, we know how much seniors are going to spend. We know the kinds of drugs they use.
So it's easier to budget for this group. Dan Mendelson is president of consultancy Avalia Health. He says this program is incentivized differently. Unlike regular fee-for-service Medicare,
the Medicare Advantage plan gets paid more if it immunizes patients or if it keeps population cholesterol levels low or if it gets diabetes under control.
And by managing patients' health, he says the plan ends up benefiting seniors, most of whom keep using Medicare Advantage once they've signed up. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
JCPenney has had a tough few years. The retailer has closed more than 70 stores and laid off thousands of employees. Its latest troubles came after it adopted a strategy to forego sales promotions and offer everyday low prices instead. Penney gave up on that plan. The promotions are back and revenues have been picking up. Now JCPenney is getting into the appliance business. Nova Sappho has more on that.
What do you think when you think JCPenney? We asked some potential customers outside a JCPenney store in New York. Here's Ron's answer.
Place I'm probably not shopping.
Ouch. We did no better with other guys we stopped. But then we asked Miriam, Amy, and Marcia.
Pants, skirts, shoes, purses. I got my prom dress there for $50. I'm a woman. Of course I've bought shoes and clothing there. Hello.
The point here is that JCPenney's brand skews heavily towards women.
Our target customer is the modern American mom.
John Tai is JCPenney's chief merchant. Selling appliances was his brainchild. And he says it's those moms making the appliance buying decisions.
Customers were going on our website looking to see if we sold major appliances. So we went on and said, you know, maybe it's a good idea that we sell them.
That idea comes at a time when existing home sales were up almost 15% by the end of the year. Paul Swinand is a retail analyst at Morningstar.
Now consumers are starting to say, hey, I haven't been buying a new house or moving into a new apartment. As they do that, they're also going to want appliances.
Best Buy, another struggling retailer, has been a beneficiary of this trend. Appliance sales are boosting its bottom line. But Mary Brett Whitfield, the department store analyst at Kantar Retail, says appliance sales are a tricky area for JCPenney.
One of the challenges for JCPenney will be getting shoppers to think about the regional mall as a location for appliances.
JCPenney is aware of that challenge. It hints at it in its new ad campaign.
Where can I find new appliances?
JCPenney is 1.2 miles away.
No, I said appliances.
JCPenney is...
This ad is running in San Diego, San Antonio, and Tampa. That's where JCPenney's John Tai is first testing out appliance sales.
We're testing lots of different configurations, assortment mixes, placement in the store.
They'll use what they learn, Tai says, to expand appliance sales to other cities in the fall. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The $100 bill may not be long for this world. Former U.S. Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers is calling for a moratorium on printing high-denomination notes, which he says help fuel corruption and crime. Writing in the Washington Post, Summers points to a new paper from Harvard that says smaller denominations make life harder for the bad guys. For example, $1 million in 20s would take at least 3.5 standard briefcases to carry. The same amount in $100 bills, just one briefcase, with room to spare. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.